Hey, sister pal. Do a quick check. Did I mute it? Nope. All right. Mic check. We're good. Whew. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, everyone. The Father's so good to us. You know, I was sitting here thinking because it feels like it's been a while. I felt like I was going to have to go look for a guest list to sign somewhere because it's been a little while since I've been able to have the privilege to come up here and speak because I allowed things to kind of get a little hectic and it gets that way sometimes. But I was sitting there on the way here, kind of a little bit of a chuckling moment. I was like, I should have brought some Marvel Mystery Oil with me. Because anytime you get a little rust in the system, you put that in there, it starts to go working. And then everybody would have thought I lost my mind if I took a sip of that. But thankfully, the Father Spirit works way better. Amen. And he can definitely get us straight and on the right path. But I've been absolutely enjoying everything that the Father has been showing us and taking us on this journey throughout Shemot. And we're definitely going to be speaking a little bit about Moshe. I probably gave it away when I just started stuttering. But it's been incredible seeing the Father's plan unfold in his word and how it applies directly to our lives in real time. You know, I've been looking and studying throughout each chapter, putting things together, always being prepared. But I also want to make sure I'm staying up to date, even though I've been missing my allotment. And we're definitely going to spend some time in a few verses in Shemot chapter 3. But I couldn't escape something that the Father arrested me in greatly. And he has been convicting me for a while about it. But as we know, me and the wife, we had our little restoration class, a.k.a. the love class, as Pastor likes to say. And it's accurate. Because if we're not taught how to love, we truly don't know how to. We're just left to guess. And that always ends up in a mess. But I noticed that the Father's word, especially where we've been, since speaking in a commitment, in covenant, in proposal, because we could see in chapter 3 that it's a proposal. He's showing himself and who he is to Moshe. He's setting the stage. And he does it so incredibly, and that's what we're going to look at. And we noticed that I also got the projector on tonight, so we're going to utilize that at one point, because there's going to be a little bit of the restoration review from the slides that me and my wife worked on, because his word's incredible, and it's awesome how it all ties into each other. And I couldn't escape the marital talk that the Father has, because he wants us to engage with him like married couples are supposed to engage with each other according to his design. Because it's all about commitment. He's looking for those that are willing to commit themselves to him. And if we lack in that in any kind of way, it shows. Because we're going to see that in the fire. It's incredible because whenever I got to that point, the Father just kept echoing that to me. Ish, ish, ish. And I knew exactly what he was referring to. And I felt a conviction because it's been a while since me and my wife have been able to do a presentation or a class in restoration. And that's something that the Father has called us to, that opened up through her. But we're going to get into the text and allow it to unfold the way that the Father was dealing with me, because there's many ways how his word can spread throughout our lives so we can apply it. And that's my prayer tonight. Out of the things that are said tonight, out of the things that the Father was dealing with me about, that I pray that it administers to our lives and that there's something that we can take with and run with and allow it to help build us up, to help us grow together. But as we know, verse 1 and a summation of the entire chapter was done and the word's been being broke down and looked at under a fine-tooth comb. We'll start with verse 1, and we're mainly going to be looking at verses 1 through 3. But it says, again, "And Moshe was shepherding the flock of Yithro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of Elohim. And the messenger of Jehovah appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked and saw the bush burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed." And there's a lot of times whenever I'm going through the Word that there's just subtle things that begin to pop out at you, especially whenever we do the rinse and repeat program, because we read it over and over, get the total message, get every little detail. And something as simple as that practice, it's also like a ping on the radar whenever he's ready for you to look at something. It's like, okay, I can see you're committed. I can see that you're serious. You want to find something. And that's how it kind of, it triggered through a question of meditation, because it started with, I wrote these down, and it's just two questions. You know, what does the fire in the Hebrew speak and of and represent? Also, the bush, could this appeal to something deep within Moshe? At first, could it be just a surface level miracle? Maybe the imagery of it not being consumed by life's fiery pressures for a deeper thought. Because that's something that I was meditating on, is that you see this miracle taking place, it catches Moshe's eye. It would catch any of our eyes if we were out in the wilderness, just going about doing what it is that we do. And then all of a sudden, you see this miracle take place. You see the glory of the Father represented through a physical imagery that grabs our attention, that pulls us in, because that's what the Father wants. He wants to pull us in. He wants us to be completely asphyxiated on Him, so that way we can understand what it is that He's expecting from us in the commitment and the marriage that He wants to have with us. But as I said, flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And some of this has already been touched on, I know that. But don't worry, we're getting to the part where it really launched me into the restoration part of the study. But that flame, like we've been told, Labba, and that's dealing with the authority inside whenever we look at the ancient renderation of that word. And it also speaks of the heart, the organ that pumps blood, and we know that life is in the blood. We know that it's a byproduct of what takes place within us, because it's also speaking of that authority, which also refers to life, love, liver, the seat of passion. It's something that carries an essence of weight, because anytime we also hear liver, we should also be reminded of His glory, because that's something that's the heaviest organ that we have. It was dealing with the weight. It's also the thing that deals with the toxins. And it was making me think a lot about whenever we have moments in our life that we're overwhelmed, because think about Moshe's condition, where he's at, how he ended up where he's at, and all the things he's dealing with. Life can weigh us down. We could feel the toxins of life. We could feel those experiences kind of burdening us. But only the Father can truly lift us from that. Only the Father can get us through whatever it is that we're going through. And you know, a Father is so good. Because, you know, one Wednesday, it was last week's Wednesday, I was able to attend. And I shared a little bit about what I was going through, the pressures, and what I was allowing to consume me. You know, because as I mentioned so many times about the foreman position, you know, different things, thinking about what it could do, what it could produce, and all the different stuff that came with it. I'm not going to go into no long, drawn-out explanation of what I'm currently going through. But all I do know is, I'm under His protection. I'm under His guidance. And whenever things don't go my way, it's more than likely because He's trying to get my attention, to show me something. Because at the end of the day, where I'll receive this position, man-made position, we all have a position with the Father that we should not give up for anything. We should make sure that He's always the forefront of our mind. Because just like He's preparing Moshe, He's showing Himself to Moshe, opening His heart, opening His presence, and allowing Him to get to know Him and an opportunity to come together in the same way that a husband and a wife should come together. And that commitment, and that covenant, and that trust. And that's why Scripture speaks so profoundly about how it's so important to make sure the two are able to commit as they come together. So that way there's unison and fluidness. But fire. Fire is a strong pressing down. It's ish. And that's what really triggered that memory whenever we were doing, me and my wife was doing the study on marriage. And then I still remember it whenever she received that vision as we were praying and we received confirmation. It took me a while to really actually receive it for myself. Because I just kept thinking, what do we know? We're not perfect. But at the end of the day, we come here to hear and receive the perfect word of the Father, to learn about Him. And anytime He's being spoken about, that should be more than enough of a qualification as long as the speaker is edifying Him, trusting Him, and just completely allowing His word to go forth and do what it is that He sent it to do. But ish. Like I said, y'all, bear with me. I got some Marvel mystery oil working its way through me right now. The rust is getting knocked off. But ish, as we know it, is burning fire, flaming hot. And it's H7-8-4. In the ancient Hebrew, that action is the press, the concrete is fire, and the abstract is despair. And as we're familiar with it, it's ultimately saying a strong pressing down. A fire made by firmly pressing a wooden rod down onto a wooden board and spinning the rod with a bow drill. Wood dust is generated from two woods rubbing together and is heated by the friction, creating a small ember in the dust. Small tinder is then placed on the ember and is blown and ignited the tinder. And we've had this before. We've had this imagery before. We've seen it with the bow drill and the process of that applied pressure from where? From above. Applied pressure from above because the direction matters. Sometimes we're putting pressure on ourselves that we put ourselves and then we go running to Him to fix it. Well, a lot of times He fixes us by applying the right pressure, the necessary pressure. And a lot of times we try and avoid that. Because that's something that also encapsulated my spirit, is that Moshe approached it. Now let's be honest. How many of us, if we were out in the wilderness, we saw a bush on fire, and we looked at that thing, and somehow the bush is still going, how many of us would actually approach it or wonder if we need to get our heads checked? Because we got to be real. There's a lot of times where we think, oh, we're good to go, we're good to go, but we don't know until we're tested in a moment to find out. Because it's an opportunity. The Father presents us opportunity after opportunity to be blessed, but the biggest blessing that we could ever receive is accepting a true relationship with Him and growing with Him to actually understand Him. Because we could see some of that unfolding, and I know I'm jumping ahead, but we know that happens. Shemot chapter 24, whenever it's talking about a covenant confirmed and all the things that has taken place in front of the children of Israel, because fire, Ish, is also mentioned there, because they see His presence and all the things that were taking place upon that mountain. Because prior to that, the Ketubah covenant, the Ten Commandments, the commitment was read to them. And we know within that chapter of 24, they said, we do, we will do, we accept. Terms and conditions, we agree with. We know, ultimately, whenever we get married, there's terms and conditions. There's things we got to agree with. But the best terms and conditions are that of the Father. And I know it's redundant, but dealing with that fire, dealing with the pressure that we were just talking about, I think it's safe to say, married couples, we've experienced pressure within the commitment. But it's good, because we're going to see, as a review, some of you may remember, I know it's been a while, that with Yah, we're the right beings of fire. But without Yah, we're beings of fire that can destroy. And that's ultimately what's preserving the bush. It's the presence of the Father. That's what preserves our marriages, the presence of the Father. That's what preserves our life, is the presence of the Father. Because even yet, whenever we didn't know Him, He knew us. And He preserved us. He knew which direction we would be heading. Let's look at Moshe. You know, imagine the thought process Moshe may have been dealing with after what he did. He thought, because it was touched on, who set you as a judge over us? After what he had did, he intervened, but by the flesh. And that taking place, and then having to flee, a complete change of life, a breaking off, spending time in a desert wilderness, very necessary for our lives so we can get Egypt off of us. I listened to the recordings, and I definitely took that advice whenever somebody asked how am I doing, or how am I doing. I'm just spending time in the desert wilderness. He's getting it off of me. He's getting each and every one of us ready to receive what it is that he has for us. But now we dealt with the ancient, we dealt with the modern, or biblical, I should say, because modern is completely different. And now, oh, quickly before we make our way to the slides, I also just thought this was an interesting little quick excerpt. Is in verse 3 when it says, "And Moshe said, let me turn aside now and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn." It made me think about a question, because I'm reflecting on literal and figurative. But I was thinking about it, when people witness us, do they wonder, why isn't this person being consumed in their burning? You know, kind of how Moshe was taken by this magnificent thing that was taking place. What about the people in our lives that witness us? Because each and every one of us is going through something, been through something, and at the Father's mercy, may be going through something in the near future, whatever that may be, as long as it's part of his will. But I've noticed time and time again, even in my own life, people are like, dude, how are you still doing it? How are you still going? How is this not bothering you? Especially the Foreman thing. I got people losing their mind over that. Like, their favorite football team lost the Super Bowl and they bet the mortgage on it. Like, I'm like, it's all right. I'm like, it's going to be okay. Like, y'all are upset. But I'm all right. Because if he doesn't give that to me, if he doesn't see that for me, oh, there's something mo better. There's something more better. And that's how our approach has to be, because I remember when I was outside the camp, still figuring out life, not doing a good job. I was a fireball of destruction and being destroyed at the same time. But I would have lost my marbles over it. I'm like, man, that's why this one's like that. That's why I'm just crying myself to sleep, you know, like whining all the way to the cheese factory. You know, it's like, it's just good that the Father has us in a right spirit, a right position. And at the end of the day, I receive a promotion from him. Amen. I got to walk and learn in that promotion. That promotion is worth more than money. It's worth more than anything that this world can offer. And don't get me wrong, I don't forget about how Abraham was blessed. How we can receive those blessings. But it's got to be by his will and his timing. It's Kairos. And we kind of, we did touch base on Shemot 24. So I'm going to go ahead and try and connect. And we can start looking deeper into the Ish, the fire, and see how this moment really is reflective of commitment, of coming together and understanding him as the head and us as the helpmate, the rim. But we're not going to go through all 485 slides. We're just going to go through a couple. Here we go. Okay. Okay. How's that? That's good? That's good for everyone? All right. So, as I said, this might seem a bit of a jump from the portion, but we're going to see how it ties in with fire, with Ish, with the fact that this moment that's taking place in chapter 3 of Shemot, that the Father's presenting himself and giving Moshe the opportunity to draw near to him, to enter into covenant, to be able to have that ketubah contract with the Father, as each and every one of us desires to be in. And y'all don't go telling everybody, Brother Rob brought us back to Genesis chapter 2. All right? I know it took us a couple of years to get where we're at now. Don't worry. There's only two verses we're looking at here. But remember, we're dealing with that Ish and Isha, because it's husband and wife, because there's a word for man, male, female, woman. And it's interesting how the Father lays it out here. But it says, and the rib which Jehovah Elohim had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one is called woman. That's Isha. Because she is taken out of man, and man here is Ish. It says the Hebrew word we see being used here for woman is completely different than the Hebrew words we see being used for female and helpmate or counterpart. Here, the Hebrew word being used for woman is referring to the same Hebrew word for wife. I made a little chuckle earlier. I was like, you know, when it deals with the woman aspect, the wife aspect, and we were doing those classes, it was easier because my wife took that part. Because I was like, I don't know. I want to make sure that it goes across rightly. So, but she was like, you think too much. And it says woman, wife, female, the Isha. The feminine of H3:7:6 or H5:8:2, irregular plural, nashim, used in the same wide sense, a woman. And it also could allude to adulterer, adulteress, each, every female, many, none, one together, wife, woman. And we've got to pay attention to the Hebrew lettering, because it's important, because as we build up to that Isha, to that reflection of what fire represents, because here we have the Aleph Shin He. And this is dealing with the capableness. And we could also use this as a reflection as being the bride, as being the one betrothed to the Father, and what it is of our essence that what's required of us in that role, because there's layers to it. But Proverbs 12:4 says a capable wife is the crown of her husband, but one causing shame is like rottenness in his bones. And you know, in all honesty, in the way that we carry ourselves and the way we walk within the covenant that he's placed us and trusted us in, and the miracles that we've seen and the fire that he's protected us from, we want to make sure that we're the capable crown as the bride of Messiah. We want to make sure that all of what has taken place throughout the entirety of Scripture, that we're continually going before him, keeping his feasts, keeping his laws, his statutes, his commands, because that's all the things that show him our love for him, our appreciation for him, our ability to be able to walk before him. But Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman has built her house, but the foolish breaks it down with her hands. And I was thinking that in the essence of building the house, we know that the place where we sit down and learn, the yeshiva, is a structured tent. It's a home. It's a house. It's the house of Elohim. And as we go before him, the only wisdom that can come forth from it is that of trusting of what his words say. How we conduct ourselves with his words is ultimately the structure of the home. Because we could easily go around and make things fit our life, but to do that, we have to deconstruct, pull apart the blueprints that the Father has laid before us to be able to walk in. Mm-hmm. And that's what he saw in Moshe. He saw someone that he could trust and knows his heart, knows the things that he's capable of. And that should be an encouragement to us, knowing that everything that we may have gone through or what we're currently going through, that the Father is entrusting us to be able to stand up, rise up to the occasion, and walk forth within his covenanted guidelines. We have to maintain the house. Proverbs 21:9. It is better to dwell in a corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Now, I'm just going to ask, has anybody ever dwelt in a corner of a roof? Then everything's going good. Don't do that. But that's the reality of how it is and how it looks like to others that could be witnessing us, as in how we're conducting ourselves. We're going to move forward. Proverbs 21:19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and vexed woman. These scriptures show two types of women / wives. A woman, a wife, can be a hindrance or a helpmate. A woman needs to make sure that she seeks Jehovah and walks according to his Torah in order to be a helpmate and not a hindrance. And that's more than obvious. That's not gender specific. That's across the board. That our dedication has to remain intact with him. Because I remember Pastor letting us know up in that room as we were coming together, getting ready to embrace each other in marriage, that he let me and my wife know that it's vertical love. That's what my wedding ring says. Vertical love. Because the two are here and it can only truly come together if they're willing to both meet the Father here. And what happens and takes place there is absolutely phenomenal. So I remember whenever we received this, whenever we were walking in this, because that's another thing that was told to us, it's one thing to teach it, but you have to be willing to actually do it. And that's something that we hear commonly. Whenever it came to this, I could attest that it was like all of our problems just, because we just humbled ourselves before the Father and went before him. See, something that I openly admitted I struggled with as a man is I was monofocused. It's like, I know the things that are on the horizon. I'm going after them. I'm doing my part. And that's all I was doing, was my part. And I wasn't considering or thinking about the helpmate that the Father blessed me with. And that's where the gap was. That's where the trouble was. I mean, let's be real, man. If we didn't need help, why'd he give us a helpmate? I mean, I'm just saying. And I know this probably wasn't expected to have a restoration within the Torah class. But it's all his word. It ties. It's reflective of him. And I can't shake and avoid what he kept turning me to look at, kept reminding me where to go, what I forgot, pick up what you put down. Because I didn't tell you to put it down. And that's something that I've been struggling with for a while. And it's hard to openly admit, but I like to say I'm the garbage man. I wear my garbage. I'm going to be transparent with people. But that's why we got to pray for each other. That's why we got to be willing to speak up and speak out whenever we're struggling. But that takes trust. And the Father knows it takes time to build trust. He knew that Moshe was going to make mistakes, but he still chose him. Even excuses aside, because there was one point where I was like, well, I can't speak right. If I get too nervous, I start stuttering pretty bad. But he uses us. He doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. And I keep that in my mind continually. But this also says more on dealing with the feminine essence, the wife, the isha, that title. Proverbs 18:22, he who has found a wife has found good, and that good is tov. And it was throughout chapter 2 of Shemot, stuff was pinging. And Pastor even called it out himself. Like he said, there's plenty of love class material here. And it was hitting me. And I was just like, there is. There definitely is. Because whenever it says he has found a wife, he who has found a wife has found good, that tov is the same functionality, that calmliness, the goodness of Moshe, that tov, that very same essence that was there in the beginning whenever he was creating creation and received blessings. He saw that it was good, tov, functional, a blessing, something that's going to help you grow. And receives favor from Yehovah. Proverbs 31:10, who does find a capable wife? For she is worth more than rubies. And I've experienced that. Whenever you know you have someone with you, that's not just with you for success, for money, for any of that, because she's been there with you through your hardest times, it's more precious than anything on this earth. Proverbs 31:30. Loveliness is deceptive and prettiness is vain. A woman who fears Yehovah is to be praised. And according to what we were looking at, remember we were admonishing the boldness of the Hebrew midwives. They feared Elohim and risked their lives to preserve life. And I can tell you this much, the times that I've lacked, the times that I've slacked, and my Isha kicked into fire mode, my wife kicked into fire mode, I have a good thing. Because I got to share this today, because it was happening. It's been on the horizon. These things have been coming forth. Because somebody asked me a question at work. What you looking at? What you studying? And I was like, it revolves a good bit about marriage right now. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Man, I tell you what, man, sometimes it makes me wonder. It makes me wonder how these things are supposed to work. I said, a lot of the times, because as we've learned, a wife is also a mirror. She reflects the husband. So I said, if you got a problem with how things are going, make sure you check yourself before you constantly cast the blame, before you constantly blame the one that's reflecting the results. You know, and it made me think about our relationship with the Father. Because let's be real, and I knew this was going to happen, because all this stuff starts coming flooding back. Genesis chapter 3, whenever we're dealing with the curse, and then we know how the summation of things went. What did Adam do? He blamed the Father, essentially, by saying, it's by the woman that you gave me. So how many times can we actually sit back and realize that we always have to take accountability to make sure that we're the right leadership within the household, to make sure that the things are being carried forth the way that the Father wants? But let's move in this. If I allow it to, it's going to keep coming. But the Hebrew word for man that is used in Genesis 2:22 is the same Hebrew word that is used for man earlier in Genesis 1:26 through 27, which is Adam. However, in the next verse, Genesis 2:23, is when we are told the woman was taken out of man, a new Hebrew word gets used, which is the Hebrew word for husband. And that's Ish, which we could see in the Strong's that it's highlighted in there on husband. It's the Aleph and the Sheen. Aleph, Yod, Sheen. So here's the comparison. This is the part where we're building up to, that this is the ultimate spot that I was reminded of, but we were building upon the foundation that was laid. Aleph, Yod, Sheen, for husband, missing the hay, they share the Aleph and the Sheen. Her wife, Aleph Sheen Hay, is missing the yod, Sher Aleph and Sheen. Now, when you compare the missing letters, the missing hey and the missing yod, that yod hey is Yah, H3068, meaning the same, Yah, the sacred name, and center of marriage. It's Ecclesiastes 4:12, although one might be overpowered, two withstand him, and threefold cord is not readily broken. That's something that we recently had. That's something that we've been reminded of, because whenever that was said, I was also thinking about this also. And Yah has to be the center of a marriage. When a husband and a wife come together, they should represent Yah. We were created in His image. And that's what we are, ultimately, as image bearers. We have to go forth and make sure that we're constantly conjoined with Him. That's like what I said earlier, what Pastor had told us, to make sure that we're on this level playing field. We have to arise to Him. It's the way that threefold cord takes place in the marriage essence. Those were words of reflection. Come on. My wife's marriage prayer, which is good. I'll definitely share it with anybody that wants it. But we're gonna move past that, because all this is gonna do is make me cry a whole bunch. But it's really good. And then questions of reflections, and here we go. Compare the same letters. Both have the Aleph and the Sheen. Aish, a primitive word dealing with fire. Fire can be destructive. Men and women are beings of fire. Fire burning and consuming are often seen as something negative. Referring these words to a marriage can mean that it is falling apart, collapsing, turning into ashes. Fire burns, it's hot, it consumes. Fire destroys life. Flesh can melt in a fiery furnace. Fire can cleanse and refine. It could be positive. It cleanses, provide warmth, cook food. Fire can form, shape, and refine precious metals. This shows us that fire can also give life, and not all fire is destructive. But what fuels our fire? Beings of fire without Yah is destructive. Beings of fire with Yah can be refining. Our fire can be fueled from two places: our earthly fleshly nature, which is anger, lust, envy, or our heavenly spiritual nature, which can refine and purify us and bring us closer to Yah. It's up to us which spirit or fire we'll be filled with. When a man removes his ability to be different from a woman, his yod, and a woman removes her ability to be different from man, her hay, they both just become fire. Fire mixed with fire just consumes and destroys. This shows us the importance of men and women being equal beings. Yah created Adam as head of woman from the beginning. Yah created balance and function, but not in form. Man needs woman, and woman needs man in order to be being a fire fueled by Yah. And that's something that I kept meditating on and kept reflecting back to, because He's setting up that marriage covenant. Like as I mentioned earlier, He wants us to be able to trust Him in the same essence that a godly marriage should reflect. But the two have to come together in agreement. There had to be no animosity between Moshe and the father whenever he was putting that proposition there for him to get to know Him, for him the opportunity to be able to draw near to Him, to know His likes and His dislikes, to be able to trust Him through the process, even though he had his doubts. You know how many times, even in the marriage reflection, how many times that I doubted myself on certain things that I wanted to pursue. And my wife just motivated me, encouraged me, told me, no, you can. That's what you want, go after it. Go before the Father. Go before the Father, constantly reminding me whenever in the earlier moments, whenever I really was being a knucklehead because of youth. I'm just reminded of something that was said when Pastor Josh was spoken, dealing with the knuckleheads. But that's the favor. That's the goodliness. That's the benefit of being blessed with someone that wants to pursue the Father. Because it becomes powerful. It becomes something that's unstoppable, and that's why the enemy is constantly trying to divide the household. Because as we know in the beginning of chapter 2 of Shemot, how it spoke in the first verse, that a man of the house of Levi married a daughter of Levi. And those two in unity came together, and that's why we have Moshe. But it's so significant and so important that we see that the Father is highlighting key individual component moments that reflect in our lives. Because it's the unity of a home that reflects his holiness, his set-apartness. Because we know of the lineage of Levi and how they would be going on to be priests, to be the ones that carried out those certain duties that not others were qualified to carry out within that office. But we know through Messiah Yeshua that we were that royal priesthood, that set apart nation, those that are called to walk in that set apartness and reflect his glory upon others. But that was the slides I wanted to share with. Because there's a few more reflections of fire and dealing with what we're talking about tonight that I want to look at. Did it give you back control over there, sister? Okay. All right. But as we approach the closing, I'm always considering and looking at the Greek, because that's a big part of our understanding. And we know that when we're dealing with fire, the Greek's going to have a translation of that. And that's the pure. And that's G4442. And it means fire, to represent lightning. But in its essence, it still has that same essence that we could see. That fire without the Father, bad, bad. Really bad. Fire with the Father leads to improvement. And Yeshua walked in that same understanding, that same concept, because he never did anything contrary to the Father. But I was instantly reminded of Matthew chapter 3, whenever Yochanan was immersing in the wilderness. And that verses, we could just go to verse 10 and 11. Because it says, I got a little title above it. It says, without Yah, because he's dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He called them a brood of adders. Those that walked in hypocrisy, those that misrepresented the Father, that they should repent. Who had told you about the time of repentance? That judgment's near? Because he said, and the axe is already laid to the root of the trees. Every tree then, which does not bear good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. And we know that's a consuming fire. But with Yah, verse 11, I indeed immerse you in water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to bear. He shall immerse you in the set apart spirit and fire. And as we learn, especially whenever we were speaking about the outpouring of the set apart spirit in Acts, whenever they received that blessing, that fire, the tongues of fire that fell upon them, we could see different remnants and essences that's laid out here, but that set apart spirit and fire, that ability to have that access granted to the Father, and then the fire is that continual testing. We receive testing from our Messiah, the one that intercedes on our behalf, the one that improves us, basically to find out what we're made of. Because we could have went into detail of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 whenever there was a division in the church, and there were people arguing. about who their favorite disciple was. Well, oh, this one's better, and so on and so forth. You know, people have their favorites. It happens. But reality check, Shaul reminds them, there's one designated for sowing, putting the seed, planting it, and the other comes and waters it. But who provides an increase? Almighty Yah, Elohim. He's the one that looks upon the entire matter and sees fit to allow that access to the set-apart spirit, to allow that opening or the popping of someone's bubble to help them understand the things of Almighty Yah better. But as it goes forward in that chapter, Shaul also compares the importance of how we build our foundation, what material do we use? And that could be a reflection of us in our lives. Because we could use wood, straw, and hay, but when a fire comes, what happens? It's burned up. The individual is saved by fire. They get a chance to reset. But that's why we have to use the right material, the material that can handle fire. Because as it also says, lightning, which I always found this interesting because it speaks about silver, gold, and precious metals, which deals with gems, all conduits of lightning, all things that can withstand the fire, that can withstand the testing. I'm so thankful that the Father is doing that with me right now. Because I know just reading from the text could just, you know, kind of, you know, slow things down a little bit, but He could give us that download, that remembrance, opening the files that's in there. Because I know that it was briefly touched, because that breaking down of chapter 3, when Pastor Josh was going through each part, highlighting really good parts, highlighting it, opening it up, and reminding us, because even with the furnace, dealing with fire, dealing with testing, dealing with the pressure of the world, but we always have to remember we have that fourth man with us. We have the presence of the Father with us. We have Him by our side, making sure that we're able to walk forth in what it is that He has blessed us with, but is determined by our commitment, like in the marital language. Because those were no slouches in the furnace. And we can't be slouches in this walk. There's blessings and testings that He has for us to be able to receive, but it's going to be completely determined on our ability to show commitment to Him, to show faithfulness to Him, to be able to trust Him and deny the flesh. And that's something that's always easier said than done, because we don't know until we're actually being burned a little, whenever the fire and the heat cranks up. But ultimately, that takes place, that right pressure and the friction that takes place in our life, is so that He can reveal to us that we can trust Him, so that we could walk forth in Him and trust the process of getting Egypt off of us. Because we don't know if we still have Egypt in us unless we got pressure on us. You know, I had a gentleman at work. He likes to mess with me every once in a while because that's just how he is. And he goes, all right, my wife told me not to mimic people's voices. So I'm going to work on that. So he told me, he said, do you know much about cortisol? And I was like, in my mind, I go, he's about to ask me about stress. I go, I know what it's related to, and high levels of it can be a reflection of like stress and different things, trauma, so on and so forth. He's like, okay. I was just wondering, because you seem stressed out. I'm just looking at you, you look stressed. I wasn't. I was just waking up after being up late, getting to work, and my eyes were droopy a little bit. But instead, I replied to him, why? Why do I look stressed? He said, well, I'm just saying, because, you know, you're a man of God, so I don't know why you'd be stressed. I said, if the devil has anyone to go after, it's going to be the Father's people. It's going to be His, Almighty Yah's people. So I say, yeah, man, I feel stressed, but I'm still smiling because I'm blessed. Like, man, look. You stop all that nonsense, because I know why he does it. He's trying to mess with me. But it's a good reflection of the Father on how we respond. Because the old me would have been like, yeah, my cortisol went up when you started talking. I'm just glad it didn't come out that way. Because that would have been the next thing. Well, I can't believe you said that to me. I thought you were supposed to love me. Oh, man. But the Father's good. And, you know what? Here we go. Another reflection that I was looking at is in John 15, because we know that's Yeshua speaking about being the true vine. And we know that, as we learn throughout the years, minnow, to stay in him, to stay with him. It's that entire chapter is dealing with commitment and the way that he speaks. Let's start with verse 1, just reading up to verse 6, but the entire chapter really, really speaks well of the essence of commitment and how important it is, as him being our head, that we have to trust him through the fire, that we have to trust that when the fire comes upon us, that he's going to preserve us, just like the bush was preserved. It says, I am the true vine, and the Father, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, so that it bears more fruit. And it's all speaking about the essence of what testing is. The only way for us to grow is to be pruned. I know we got gardeners in here that I could tell they definitely know what they're doing, because the produce be producing. And I'm sure that there's some pruning that takes place, and that's how we increase. But it also comes with a pain, that sharp burning. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Stay in me, and I stay in you. As the branch is unable to bear fruit of itself unless it stays in the vine, so neither you unless you stay in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who stays in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, because without me you are unable to do naught. If anyone does not stay in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. And that's that same simple essence that we've been looking at, that literally we only can survive the tests and the fire and the tribulation if we stay in him, we stay with him, we stay in his essence, his presence, so that way we were protected. And like I said, I was thinking about Moshe. I was thinking about all the examples and all the times in our lives and all the things that we've been through, all the challenges that we faced together as a congregation, and moments where the fire was definitely cranked up hot. But we have to remain in him. We have to trust him. We have to act rightly. We have to respond rightly. Every little finite moment, we have to trust him with and conduct ourselves properly. Or we could be at danger of heading in a direction, because that's the mercy of the Father. There's been a lot of times where I'm sure we've lacked and felt like we're allowing things to entertain our flesh. It's corrupting us a little bit, and then we're starting to slowly drift away, but he still gives us time instead of just hurrying up and throwing us away. But that's why the appointed times are very important, because they're continually always refreshing our commitment with him. They're warning us, preparing us, getting ready the bride, the sound of a trumpet, for the bridegroom that's coming. So that way we can be married together in eternity. And you know, I feel like the Marvory Mystery Oil is definitely working, and I'm definitely thankful. And I definitely have more material that I could have just went back and looked at, but this is where the Father was currently dealing with me recently. And I didn't want to catch myself just putting material out there just because I had it. But with that being said, I pray that there was something here tonight that we're able to take with us and hold on to. Anything. Because the Father's good to us. And it's his word. And we're married and committed to him. I love y'all. Shabbat shalom.